It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We are back here on the Keystone Kickoff Show. As promised, Mike Palmer from StateCollege.com joins us. Right now, we're in the middle of the off season, but Mike has been doing a lot of writing, as he usually does. Mike, thanks for joining in.
Hey, thanks for asking me. Good to talk with you, Dustin.
Well, I was going through what you've been working on, what you've been processing, and you're a zagger when other people zig, and I appreciate that about you. But I thought this dynamic with Friday Night Football is just interesting in a broader sense, on a bigger level. James Franklin has been pretty clear. He believes Friday night should be reserved for high school football. That's what I think, too. But they opened this door a little bit. So now the dynamic that Penn State is facing, that you basically used as the premise of your article, was Illinois, 9 p.m. Eastern time on a Friday, followed by Ohio State, and how Penn State comes to terms with that. What's the challenge here? What's the issue for Penn State?
I think it's as much as anything, it's a logistical and routine, not routine to be normal, but routine. Franklin and Penn State is very much creatures of habit, and flying to Illinois on a Thursday for playing late at night on a Friday, getting back early morning Saturday is just so totally out of routine, especially on a big game week like Ohio State coming up. So I think the fact that they're doing something that really they have not done, the last time Penn State's played a game on a Friday that was not a bowl game, it was 1982. So there's really no template for this. And I think just getting out of that routine prior to a big game like Ohio State, Illinois is not going to be a challenge, but the logistics and the routine part are.
So last season, James Franklin made an addition to his handbook with that long delay at Michigan State. He'll make his next addition to the handbook for sure with Friday night 9 p.m. And certainly I'm sure the writers all over the beat are already kind of regretting that trip.
There's a couple saving graces, but it's an 8 p.m. Illinois, so it's 9 p.m. here. But you're right, if you're a newspaper person and you're filing, that's still a 9 o'clock kick as far as getting that press run going. The only really good news is that if you make it a quick out and back, and what made me think about part of the story is I booked my trip to Champaign this week, and it's from State College to Champaign. It's only $340 round trip, so it's a pretty good price now. So like James, I'm trying to plan ahead for the season ahead, and as much as Franklin tells you that they take it one game at a time, that's now's the time of year where they're trying to knock off anything that is new and different and handle that without the deadline pressure of game week coming up.
What do you think the future of Friday night football in college football is? Do you think it grows? Do you think it shrinks? Do you think it goes away? Do you think it's going to be successful?
I think it's an anomaly. Big Ten only has 3 Friday night games, not counting the opening day weekend. So it's an outlier. 3 games is not a huge thing unless the ratings take off, but I don't think you're going to see a high ratings for Penn State at Illinois on FS1 on a Friday night. There's not a big audience for that. What it is when the Big Ten signed its new 6-year media deals with Fox and ESPN and essentially got twice as much money, they had to give those two networks something extra. And this Friday, you're looking at 3 games in the Big Ten this year on a Friday night. So it's really not much of anything. It's not a trend, at least as I think, as far as the Big Ten's concerned.
And there's certainly some pushback from some major players on the idea of it too. Let's talk about some of the more current happenings here with Penn State. Number one, recruiting. I guess it was only a matter of time before Penn State really got things heated up. But what are your thoughts on tracking recruiting and seeing a run of 6 commitments in about 2 weeks?
Well, I think it's a big vote of confidence in, as Franklin would call it, the process, and in Franklin. People are making their decision based on Franklin, his continuity, his salesmanship, his style, but then also the people who really run the recruiting, the Andy Franks, the Kenny Sanders, that Justin King, those people are Patrick Goodman. Those people have been there a couple years. The underpinnings of the whole recruiting process, even though you're seeing a Josh Gattis or Charles Huff come and go, it's the people that run the mechanics of the visits, of the recruiting, of the outreach, of the DMs, of those relationships. Those relationships have been sustained even with assistant coaches coming and going. So I think this is a real vote of confidence in the system and the operation that Franklin has put into place, and really selling the overall operation and the overall university as opposed to those individual relationships that are coming and going.
That's an interesting way to put it, because the better you are, the more assistants you're going to lose. I think that's just a fact. So the ability to create continuity, I think it's interesting what you say about the, you know, the staff behind the scenes. Also, the strategy for recruiting, and I think back to Ricky Slade in the 2018 class, where they don't really have a lot of situations where it's one and only one primary recruiter. I think there's, you know, not they're taking eggs in multiple baskets, so to speak. I think just for this reason, for the ability to be able to have that continuity.
No, that's a great point. And so you're throwing a lot of coaches, but you're also throwing a lot of behind the scenes people at the recruiting. So when you lose a Charles Huff, Ricky Slade still has those relationships, not only with the other coaches, but with all the other recruiting aides. And I think that's kind of Franklin's secret sauce. As assistant coaches have come and gone, his recruiting people have stayed, and they continued to add. They just added a graphic designer for football only. And a huge percentage of their graphic design is based towards the end users. The customer is the potential customer, is the college, the potential player. They're designing social media, invitations, outreach just directly to those kids. That's where they're putting a lot of their time and money and energy, in those areas that are really the tip of the iceberg. Maybe a someone like a Gattis or a Huff or now a Siders or Corley, but it's that big iceberg underneath that really makes a difference.
It's interesting. Graphic design in particular, how a program is portrayed is very different now. And I think having designs and these edits and having these, that when kids come through and they're wearing your jersey and being able to do really cool stuff with them, it's so important now. That, I mean, that's one of the ways that you leave sort of a lasting impression on a kid now. It's pretty amazing.
It is. It's a real, I think it's an integral part of the whole process of recruiting that really doesn't get a lot of coverage externally, but internally, they put a super high premium on.
You're listening to the Keystone Kickoff Show. We're talking to Mike Poorman from statecollege.com. We put a super high premium on his presence here. I was reading back through, you know, sort of James Franklin building out his assistant coaching staff. And the one thing as I'm watching all this unfold, Mike, is you sort of are, you know, I'm in awe of James Franklin's sense of purpose with every single thing he does, because there's a lot of change that never felt like upheaval, because he always had something in mind. And this grand scheme to bring Sider in from Florida, to have David Corley bring him in from Army, and then he changes responsibilities. It all just felt so seamless to me.
Well, I think part of it, it's also the profile. They're younger coaches. They're African American. That there are, and here's some. So those are two key components in those hires, and also the fact that these are guys. This is for them. Penn State is an aspirational job. We're not going to see them leave in the next year or two. And I think that was important from Franklin's point of view too, is that these are hires for not just the next year, but for the next 2, 3, 4 years, is that they're going to create that stability that he's somewhat lost as folks have turned in and out of the program. So they fit that profile. I mean, Corley was a wide receiver coach last year at West Point. The leading wide receiver on the Army football team last year made three catches over the course of the season. They're not bringing Corley in because he's teaching great route running. He's bringing in for work ethic. He's bringing in for demographics. He's bringing in for stability. He's bringing in for malleability. He's also bringing them for a price point. Corley does not cost what a Moorhead costs, what a Josh Gattis end up costing after being here for 4 or 5 years. So he can maintain that salary structure and continue to use some of that staff assistant money to throw at Pry, to throw at Spencer, so they stay, to throw at Limegrover, so the older guys stay. So they fit, these new hires fit a lot of things, just some things that really are not often talked about. But it's all part of that hiring process, all part of filling out that staff under a budget cap, and also really creating a profile of someone that he wants in that coaching room.
James Franklin, he seems to be in the early stages of kind of stumping for a bigger pool of pay for his assistant. I heard him use the term lateral moves a whole bunch to try to prevent guys from leaving. I suspect it's a message for the administration that these things wouldn't be happening if we had a little bit more money to spread around. Am I reading that right?
Yes, I think that's his message, but I'm not sold on that message. On the Caravan, I asked Sandy Barber about that, and she said last year they made a significant push, Penn State Athletics, to greatly increase her, or greatly increase the salary pool for assistants. So, you know, they have stepped the plate to a certain degree money-wise, but Josh Gattis signed for he's getting $520,000 at Alabama. Money, he was not getting that at Penn State. Money had something to do with it, but it's also an increase in job title. He was wide receiver coach and assistant special teams coordinator and offensive recruiting coordinator at Penn State. Good job titles, but it's not the panache that co-offensive coordinator at University of Alabama is. So that was title-wise, that's not a lateral move. Charles Huff got a promotion to assistant head coach at Mississippi State. Title-wise, it's not a lateral move. So I think that's a bit of misnomer by James saying lateral move. Those folks are leaving for better job titles and more money. And for if you're a Huff and if you're Gattis, and Gattis, I've talked to him in the past, his goal is to be a head coach. You don't get to be a head coach by being the wide receiver coach. You get to be a head coach by at least being a co-offensive coordinator. So I think that was a bit of a misnomer, his lateral move. It's really the folks who left for better jobs.
Mike Pormer from statecollege.com. Giving it to us real. I appreciate that, Mike. Thanks for joining us.
All right. Thanks a lot. Take care, Dustin.
Yeah,
bye-bye.
You too. We're moving on here. Tyler Donahue from Lane of 10 joins us right after this.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
You trust AAA to work at every mile. But AAA doesn't just cover your car. They can also cover your home. AAA Home Insurance protects every square foot. And when you add AAA Home Insurance to AAA Auto Insurance, you get more protection and more savings. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent today or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA Home Insurance.
Hey, Keystone Sports Nation, it's Scott Shirley, the Executive Director of Uplifting Athletes, inviting you to join us for the annual Gridiron Gala Saturday, June 9th in downtown Harrisburg at the Keystone Building. Features all-you-can-eat and drink, tailgate food, and special guests, including Devin Still, former Penn State All-American and NFL star, and most importantly, the father of Leah, who courageously beat her rare cancer and inspired millions. Visit upliftingathletes.org to learn more and help us tackle rare diseases. Hope to see you there.